Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast. I am Jason Powell. Our WrestleMania Week special is expiring soon. Sign up for 1 month of .net membership for just $2 while you still can. We are also offering discounts on our six-month and annual membership. The members are listening to my 55-minute full-length audio review of last night's WWE Raw, 100 minutes of WrestleMania 32 audio review with Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett and I getting together. They were giving the in-person perspective on WrestleMania, while I gave the WWE Network viewing perspective. We had a really good discussion about that show. And the members are also hearing the NXT TakeOver Dallas audio review that Zach Zimmerman and I did on Friday night. The membership side is ad-free. Members have access to the ad-free mobile site with bonus content and members podcast access in addition to the ad-free desktop website. And as I've been trying to stress more, our exclusive member audio is available on iTunes and the major podcast app. So if you are like me and you listen to everything through Downcast, for instance, know that it is there. All you have to do, use the coupon code .NETAUDIO32A when you sign up at ProWrestling.net. You'll go to the sign-up area on the main page, and in there you'll see that area for the coupon code. Again, it's .NET32A and pay just $2 for 1 month. .NET AUDIO32B will get you 6 months of .NET membership for the low price of $29.99. Save 10 bucks off of our usual six-month rate. And then the big one, the .NET Audio 32C, will get you a full year of .NET membership for just $49.99. You will save $16 compared to our usual $66 annual rate. We do not do sales often. We did one for Cyber Monday, but before that, I don't even remember the last one. It's we're not a Kohl's-like operation where we're having a sale every day or anything like that. So jump on this while you still can. It is going to be gone here within the next couple of days. So get in while you can and lock yourself in for .NET membership. We have a ton more of audio content available on the ad-free version of the site, but I'm not going to get into all that here. Just know that we cover all of the major companies' television shows in audio form, as well as all of the pay-per-view events. I'm going to start today with my bonus thoughts on Raw, shake things up a little bit compared to the normal format. I will read the WWE Raw hit list once I'm done with the bonus thoughts, but since this was the night after WrestleMania and we had those NXT call-ups, I wanted to talk about that. I got to say, I was underwhelmed by the NXT talent that they ended up bringing up to the main roster. Don't get me wrong, I like each of the acts. I really have high long-term hopes, especially for Baron Corbin and Apollo Crews, and certainly Sami Zayn, if you want to count him in this mix of call-ups. But you know, we weren't wowed with the names like Finn Balor or Samoa Joe or Bayley. And in each case, though, I still think it's possible that some of them get called up. And I'm guessing here, but I'm guessing with Bayley, probably not her time. But let's say they want to get Samoa Joe or Finn Balor or Balor Club members, Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows, over as heels. All right, each of those wrestlers would have been cheered like mad last night with that night after WrestleMania crowd. And yeah, you did have JBL throwing out that line about how they cheer for people who are normally booed and that sort of thing. And the broadcast team could have tried to explain it, why they were cheering someone that they want to be heel. But do you really want that to be the first impression of a heel wrestler? They come out and they're just cheered by 15,000 rabid fans. They get the biggest pops of the night. No, I don't think so. And so it actually makes more sense to debut incoming heels who would be cheered by this crowd at a different show. You know, you get them away from the hardcore fans. Granted, you're going to have hardcore fans at every show. It's not like this is the only show they go to, obviously, but you're not going to have 15, 6, whatever the attendance was, 15,000 of them, we'll say, just crammed into the same building, all, you know, cheering for their favorites. And I really think they would have gone nuts for Balor Club or Samoa Joe, and certainly Bayley as well. And, you know, my guess is because they didn't bring her up that it's not her time, but, you know, she is the lovable underdog type. You know, if they want to introduce her that way on the main roster, is she a level, you know, is she an underdog if, like, that entire audience knows who she is? There's, if you want to make her a star right out of the gate, yeah. But, I just don't know that it's her time right now. They may be saving her for a future date, but that was something that kind of jumped out as well. Could there be a reason they wouldn't want her to receive a massive ovation? And with her, I think they probably would. So I guess what I'm saying is that It's possible that what we saw on Raw, combined with, I guess, the vaudevillains on SmackDown, are the call-ups. And if that's the case, underwhelming. Not to knock those talents, but again, not the big dogs. And I think you can look at it a couple of different ways. You can be happy that NXT remains stronger than ever. WWE didn't take its major players. They chose mostly, some niche players. I think it. Not that there's not upside, of course. Again, with Sammy, and Cruz and Corbin, but it's not like these. Sammy was a difference maker at NXT, but he was sidelined by an injury for so long that I think NXT is and its fans have already just kind of become comfortable with him being away. It's not like he was at his peak and they decided to pluck him, pull him up to the main roster. It could also be that WWE is very serious about beefing up the NXT brand to continue its expansion. I just hate to think that like Vince McMahon handpicked the talent that were called up because he sees more upside in those guys than he does in Finn Balor or Samoa Joe. It's possible, but I mean, I think NXT is still growing and WWE may be very serious about making sure that brand has its own foundation of stars to help it with its growth. At any rate, I mean, I just say, as things stand right now, as I record this on, Tuesday before the SmackDown taping, a lot can still change, but NXT is stronger than ever. If there are no other changes, they lost Sammy, they lost Enzo, Cass, Cruz, Corbin, and the vaudevillains. They replaced them with Shinsuke Nakamura, Bobby Roode, apparently Kota Ibushi. You're just starting to see Chad Gable and Jason Jordan come into their own as the new tag team champions. There's new talent that they've been signing for the Cruiserweight tournament that could easily be brought into NXT. And again, things can change, but right now, if you're an NXT fan, I think you if you really value that more so than the main roster for whatever reason, I think you're looking at it today as a win, that they didn't take your favorites. Will that change? We'll see. Now let's get into the WWE Raw hit list. If you haven't checked it out earlier, it is always available in print on ProWrestling.net. I read this for you guys with the goal of just making it a little bit easier for you. Maybe you don't have time at work to read a longer piece, and so reading it here, just trying to make it a little bit more convenient. Well, the first hit today was Roman Reigns, and as much as I accuse WWE of fear booking Reigns by overly protecting him in the weeks and even months leading up to WrestleMania 32, they at least had the balls to put it in front of the rowdiest crowd he's likely to see all year. I love the line, "I'm not a bad guy, I'm not a good guy, I'm the guy." It brought back memories of Kurt Hennig once saying something similar in an AWA promo. Hennig said that people asked him if he's a good guy or a bad guy. "I'm a hell of a guy," was his answer. In Roman's case, I hope this is the way they intend to play the character going forward and not just a stopgap for the night after the WrestleMania crowd. Roman can be effective with his "you're either with me or against me" routine if it has more of an edge to it than John Cena's successful model. Roman is capable of bringing a cool factor to his act that will win over some of the fans, and I really believe it works to his advantage to play it this way considering the real money matches will be against fellow babyfaces just given the current shortage of main event heels. Next hit, AJ Styles against Cesaro and Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens in that four-way main event. It was a strong main event with a nice surprise in the form of Cesaro's return. I'm happy to see Styles win the match and get his post-WrestleMania run off to a good start. He avenged his WrestleMania loss and came out of this looking good heading into his match with Roman Reigns. Unfortunately, I'm having a hard time getting excited about Styles being put into a position where he's likely to lose. I just can't see WWE taking the title away from Roman so quickly once again. However, it sure beats the idea of Reigns feuding with Ryback or Kane, as new champions have done coming out of WrestleMania in the past. By the way, what does it say about Cesaro standing in WWE that he didn't win in his big return match? The next hit is Enzo Amore and Big Cass. The most impactful debut of the wrestlers coming up from NXT, and that includes Baron Corbin winning the Dre on Sunday. Some people have the gift of gab. Enzo has the spoiled rich kid's gift of gab. I don't know how far Enzo and Cass will go as a tag team in WWE, but Enzo's mic routine always makes a strong first impression. Next hit is Vince McMahon and Shane McMahon. Let's start with the obvious that this was ridiculous for Shane to show up one night after taking that insane bump off at the Hell in a Cell structure. I'm not surprised that Super Shane was there, But it's silly. That said, the segment was well received. Vince in front of the WrestleMania crowd was priceless, and the same crowd was thrilled to see Shane and roared when Vince gave him control of the show for one night. It was disappointing that they didn't really establish what Shane did with his power aside from shaking some hands and booking the main event and naming Cesaro as Sami Zayn's replacement. The broadcast team made it impossible for viewers to suspend their disbelief, though, by crediting Shane with booking the tables match when it had been previously announced by WWE prior to the show. Next hit, New Day against Sheamus and King Barrett. The night after WrestleMania, crowd adored New Day's pre-match stick. That adoration isn't as enthusiastic during their matches, but it's not like they were working with a hot team. League of Nations dropping King Barrett is fine. However, the idea of the trio being stronger was washed away immediately when the Wyatt family beat the hell out of the remaining members. How about Sheamus repeats the same line next week and Rusev takes out Alberto Del Rio? And then Sheamus repeats the same line the following week, and he takes out Rusev. Can you tell that I want this terrible faction to end so the talented singles wrestlers that make up the group actually have a chance to do something better? As for the Wyatt family, I assume they're babyfaces now, but Bray Wyatt's next promo should tell that story. Next hit is Sasha Banks against Summer Rae, an effective showcase win for Sasha. Summer made the most of her limited mic work by managing to stand out in a positive way. I'm anxious to see WWE do a better job of telling Sasha's story and defining her character than they did prior to WrestleMania. And the next hit, the final hit actually, is Apollo Crews against Tyler Breeze. A very nice debut for Crews, with the match giving him a chance to showcase his key moves and athleticism. I also love the big super kick from Breeze, who continues to be grossly underutilized. If they want him to be an enhancement wrestler, then I suggest at least letting him win some matches to give him credibility so that it means a little something when a newcomer like Crews beats him. I was legitimately surprised that Crews was called up, if only because they haven't been doing much with him at the NXT level. I thought we'd see some bigger NXT names called up, which would lead to Crews sliding into a top spot at the NXT level. We are into the misses section, and we will start with that disclaimer for the WrestleMania crowd. I laughed out loud over the broadcast team delivering their public service announcements to viewers regarding those crazy kids that make up the night after WrestleMania crowd. It's one thing to acknowledge it during the course of conversation, but to actually show the broadcast team with the sole purpose of warning viewers at home was hysterical for all the wrong reasons. It was truly embarrassing to hear JBL tell viewers that these fans boo wrestlers who are normally cheered and cheer the wrestlers who are normally booed. No, they cheer the wrestlers they like, regardless of whether they are heels or babyfaces or how poorly they've been booked by WWE. The next miss, The Miz against Zack Ryder. I like The Miz, and I'm happy to see Maurice apparently added to his act. However, the idea of Miz winning the Intercontinental title from Zack Ryder in 2016 just set the belt back again. I was open to the idea of WWE doing something fresh with Ryder, but clearly this was about giving fans a surprise moment at WrestleMania. The alternative is that Miz and Ryder play hot potato with the IC title, and we've already seen how damaging that can be to a secondary title thanks to the Alberto Del Rio and Kalisto feud. The next miss is Baron Corbin against Dolph Ziggler. Corbin got off to a nice start with his Dre win on Sunday. However, I hated the way WWE cut to commercial early in his Raw debut match. As I noted in my live review, it takes away the must-see vibe and the element of danger by heading into a break during a big heel debut. I'm also down on him not winning a showcase match and instead having a double countout with Ziggler. The End of Days is a badass finisher. It looks impressive when it's hit in the ring. They jumped ahead by having him hit the move on the floor instead, because it would have been a much bigger deal had they actually established the move with him on the main roster for several weeks as being a vicious move and then had him perform it on the floor at a later date and really put it over. The final miss, the Dudleys against the Usos. I realize this was a setup for Enzo and Cass to make their debut, but I must say the Dudleys against Usos feud was a drag. I was excited about the idea of the Dudleys turning heel and the Usos finally getting a real program, but nothing special came from it. We heard more from the Usos on the WWE Hall of Fame red carpet special than we ever hear from them on Raw. It really surprises me that WWE isn't doing more with them, given the connection that they have to Roman Reigns. And there you have it. That is your WWE Raw hit list. I'm going to keep it brief today. I will be back tomorrow with something we don't normally do on Wednesdays here. I'm going to give you the Ring of Honor audio review. It's normally exclusive to members, and in fact, it's usually done by Darren Gutteridge and Hayden Gleed, but I am going out of town. Zach Zimmerman is in Mexico. He's in a better place than I'm going to. I'm staying in Minnesota, but I'll be out of town for a couple of days, and so I'm going to review that show, and that will free up Darren Gutteridge to take care of the NXT television review. It's not going to be live this week, so if you're someone who normally follows follows along with Zach doing live coverage. Just know that it won't be live, but Darren will be by on Thursday at some point with his NXT television review, and then we'll get back on track next week. So check back for that tomorrow. And hey, please subscribe to this daily podcast. As I always like to tell you, please rate and review us on iTunes or anywhere else that allows such reviews. That is always appreciated. You're helping spread the word about the podcast. And finally, I want to thank everyone who has taken advantage of the membership special. WrestleMania broke its record for most in attendance, and we have broken ours as far as people taking advantage of one of our specials. And please, I hope more people do so. We're very proud of the work we do on the member side of things, and we think you will enjoy it. And so dive in. $2 for 1 month. I told you the details earlier. If you missed any of that, go to the main page at ProWrestling.net, and you will see a story up that says $2 in the headline, and you'll get all that information there. So again, if you miss those coupon codes, don't sweat it. You don't have to rewind. It's all available for you on the main page of ProWrestling.net. But that is going to do it for today. Until tomorrow with that Ring of Honor television audio review, have a great day and take care.